Okay. This is my copy of Eve. Okay, thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. Okay, we will learn today. Why?
No, it's a squeaky voice.
Oh, no. Better now? Okay. I would like to learn with you. Squeaks. And the procedure of Gerut as brought in the Rambam, Mishneh Torah, Yisurei Biyam, Perek Yudalet. What I would like to explore is not so much the procedure of Gerut, but to share with you some thoughts and to try to show that the ideas of this procedure are reflected in other halakhic areas. That is, my basic assumption is that the way we present Judaism to a potential Jew, the questions we ask him, the different elements of the procedure are essential to Jewish identity. And therefore, we can learn from this procedure not only in how to accept the ger, but we can have some look into central ideas of Judaism. I know. I only hear the shear. I'm not in charge of the mic. It's not my department. I mean, if you want, I'll take it off, but I think they'll be upset with me, the management. So I'll leave it, okay? This basic assumption is rooted also in the text, in the Rambam in Yisurei Biyam Perek Yud Gimel, where he describes the source where Chazal have derived the procedure of Gerut. Rambam there writes, "Bishlosha dvarim nichnesu Yisrael lebrit." When Am Yisrael was formulated as a nation and they created a covenant with God, there are three parts to it: b'milah, b'tvilah, u'b'korban. And there are quotes from the Gemara in Yevamot. The milah, the Rambam said, was in Mitzrayim. The tvilah was in Mamad Har-Sinai. The korban was in Mamad Har-Sinai. Then he continues, when a goy wants to... Hey, you can lower the volume here sometimes? When a goy wants to join the Jewish nation, he goes through a similar procedure. Meaning the procedure of Gerut is a reflection of Yitziat Mitzrayim and Mamad Har-Sinai. Therefore, the understanding the procedure of Gerut is understanding the foundations of our covenant with God. And I would like, the basic source is a Baraita in the Gemara in Yevamot, which is on the right column here. And on the left column, I brought you the way the Rambam brings the procedure. As you can see, the Rambam's text is a little longer than that of the Baraita. In other words, the Rambam revised the text a little. He added a few lines. He added a few essential ideas. On the one hand, the differences between the Baraita and the Rambam reflect, to some extent, the Rambam's world and some emphases he emphasized, which are less emphasized by Chazal, and we'll pay our attention to that too. And one of the central ideas which I really want to develop here this year are more in the Rambam and a little less in the Baraita, because they really depend upon what the Rambam added. And later on in this year, when we'll go to another halachic area, I would like to suggest that similar ideas exist there, and also it only depends upon the Rambam's explanation of the Mishnah. So the Rambam is the center of our discussion today. Okay, we will start reading the Rambam. Rambam, the title of the 14th chapter of the Chotis Arabia is, it's a little bit, yeah. Do I want it better? Do you want it better? It's fine. Okay, we made peace. Ketzad mekablin gerei atzedek. Sheyavo echad lidgayel min ha'akum v'yivdeku acharav v'lo yimtzu ilah. This line is not in the Baraita, as you can see. I will explain it. Previously in Perek Yud Gimel, one of the first shiurim I delivered here in Beit Avichai, it was in Hebrew, and then you could correct any mistakes I made, okay? Some of my Hebrew you could correct too. Okay, that was one of the first ones in Hebrew. I discussed Perek Yud Gimel, The Rambam there, based upon the Varan Yevamot, Daf Chav Daled, Rambam says, in the times of David and Shlomo, there were no gerim. The ideal of gerut is only Bazman Hazeh, as the Baraita says. Since Bazman Hazeh, when the Baraita was stated, Bazman Hazeh, Jews were in exile, Jews were oppressed by the Goyim. We'll see it soon in the Lashon of the Baraita, the Lashon of the Rambam. And therefore, we are sure about the religious sincerity of the potential ger. While the time of David and Shlomo, the Rambam describes the people perhaps were mitgayer because they were afraid of David. Ibn Acherim, he writes, the time of Shlomo, they were interested in having some benefits from being Jewish. Since we're not able to be sure about the sincerity of his motivations, therefore, we do not accept Gerim. Now, in that shiur I discussed, I won't repeat it today, that to some extent, today in 2009, in the state of Israel, to say Bazman Hazeh, we're closer to Yemei David and Shlomo, and because today we have some klita, where the Jewish existence has changed in the past 60 years. And therefore, and that was discussion of that shiur, the whole new debate about Gior. How do you accept them today? What's added to that dilemma is that today most of the Jewish people redefine Judaism. And I won't discuss that today. But the Rambam here is referring back to the questions over there. Perhaps you're a mizgayer because you want to make money, because you're afraid. In other words, because you're not sincere about it. And Rambam says, Shivi bekuach ala v'loim tu'ila. They found no other reason to be mitgayer besides being like Ruta Mavia, not to gain anything. Only out of religious sincerity. Omrilo. And then he continues, Mavarita Shabbat Ali Garu. Why are you coming to us? Why are you trying to join us? Iata Yodea She Israel Bazman Hazeh Divuyim Dechufim Mesochafim Umetorafim Vyisubim Baim Alehem. But you don't know, it's to join the Jewish ghetto is not such a pleasant experience. I was last week in Prague. In Prague, the Jewish ghetto is like part of the city today. And relatively, if you compare it to other European cities, the Jews are part of the history of the city. But even there, you can sense it. You see all the cathedrals. You see all the goyim that live. You say to them, but you really want to dive into the little Altman Shul, which is so, you know, in the ground, you know, but you don't know the way of a better life. Now, what's a little strange about the one line the Rambam added to the Baraitas, that since the Rambam wrote, V'yibdeku achala v'lo yitzu ila, it would seem already convinced in his being sincere about his wanting to be Jewish. That he's motivated by his recognizing God and not by his wanting to gain something financially or some other type of benefit. And therefore, why ask him again? When it would seem, my father, Rav Lichtenstein, I'm there, my father, Rav Lichtenstein, published an article on Gerut in 1971. It's before we came at Aliyah. He was here, we were here in the summer of 1970, and he lectured at the Kenes Torah Shebaal Peh Mosad HaRav Kook, and that's a lecture that he delivered there. President Shazar was there, very impressed. He invited him to the Beit HaNasi. He took all of us. I had a picture of the president. I was 6 years old. And in that article, my father suggests that it would seem that asking him, Mara'ita Shabbata Lidgayer, Iyata Yodera, She Israel, Bazman Hazeh, Devuyim, Dechufim, Suchafim, is not part of the test. It's already part of the procedure of accepting him. It's part of the process of the Gerut. It's not the pretest, let's check you out. We already are convinced that he's Ger for the right reasons. Part of it is already accepting him, and that is because Gerut includes not only believing in God and being committed to his mitzvot, but also includes a very central element in Jewish identity, that is joining the Jewish people, the fate of the Jewish people. And this idea is expressed in the Rambam in many places. I will bring one, the Kol Tshuva, when the Rambam explains one of the 24 people who will not be in Olam Haba, One of them is HaPoresh Midorchei Tzibur, that who leaves the community. The Rambam there says very clearly in Perek Gimel of Chol Tshuva Halacha Yud that Achal Pisha Oseh Mitzvot, it's not somebody who sins, but I know Oseh Mitzvot Bichlalan. Find some island in next to New Zealand, turns off the radio, throws his computer to the sea, he was there, right? Is it possible there? But don't listen to the news. What does he care about the Jewish faith? He believes in God, he's glad kosher, he's machber al mitzvah, only one thing. He worships God alone. Eino ase mitzvot bichlavan. Holech kechad mikoye haaretz. Raman says, Eino chedet olam haba. Because being Jewish is worshiping God within the Jewish community. And this is rooted in Bereshit Yud-Zayin, next week's parasha, where God has agreed with Avraham Avinu. And the meaning of the Greek in Bereshit Yud-Zayin is, the covenant is, that it's exclusive. Only Avraham Avinu and his nation, his children, have a covenant with God. Only they worship God. And if a guy wants to worship God, you cannot make what's called today in Israel Chozei Shi, personal contract. I will believe in God and establish my own relationship with Him. The only way to relate to God is through the children of Avraham Avinu. And therefore, if a guy recognizes the truth of God, he has to join Avraham Avinu's children, he has to join the Jewish people, and therefore, part of being Jewish, and Mimela, part of the procedure of Gerut is, and here the Brachah continues, the reading from the Rambam, a very nice answer. Let's listen to this answer. You would expect the Brachah to say, and I'm going to do it, and I'm worthwhile of it. Look what the Brachah says, the opposite. He says, I know that's not easy, I'm not even sure I'll be able to stand up to it. Well, he has doubts if he'll be able to do it. Any kedai, only then you accept him. Now, we don't know from the Brachah what would happen if he would say, Ani kedai. I can tell you from my little experience when I interview students, those who I think that will be difficult with them. I remember a few interviews when I say to them, you realize the key to success when you have difficulties is recognizing the difficulties and not denying them. Meaning, when you deny difficulties, you have no way to be able to overcome them. I'm always afraid of those who everything is easy for them. And you're there, and you can die. No, to realize the difficulty is the only way to overcome it. And you're there, then you can die. The kablenoto miyad. Umandinoto. Look at the Brachah. What now we start people upon giur. There are many of them in Israel these days. Now, what is included in the curriculum of the Ulpan Giyur? So, the Brachah starts straight from the Litvish Brachah. You take it to Shulchan Aruch. Modino to miksat mitzvot kalot, miksat mitzvot chavorot. But look what the Rambam added over here. Modino to ikrei adat, shu yichud Hashem v'isur avodah zarah. You teach him emunah. You teach him the ideas of Judaism. And the Rambam adds, "Ulaarichin b'davar hazeh." It's a long course. It's not a one semester course. It's the whole year. You make sure that he acquires the ideas of Judaism, and it would seem very clearly that not being in the Brachah but being in the Rambam somehow reflects the fundamental difference between the place of the ideas of Judaism within the Mishnah. And within the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam. The Mishnah is a code of law. It does have, today people are very aware of it's having a world of views in there, but perhaps beside Masechet Avot, which is more ethics, I would say, the Mishnah doesn't teach us about ideas about God, about His providence, about the way He runs the world. And you look at Mishnah Torah, the Rambam, you see, the opening book, it's not a coincidence, it's the first book, is Sefer Mada. And listen to the name of the second book, Ahava. In the Rambam, thought it's very essential to categorize, to explain the ideas of Judaism. Part of being Jewish is having the right beliefs. And I brought you here on the next page. I won't read the whole piece, but in Gerusha Mishnah in Brachot, one example, just to show it, when the last Mishnah in Brachot, which talks about Boaz with the Kotzirim, Yivarechecha Hashem, Make Lasot Hashem Efer V'Toratecha, the Rambam there discusses in a few lines, I don't know, 15 lines, no, 20 lines, exactly, 20 lines, he discusses Sachar Va'onesh, and he finishes the discussion in the following statement. Ve'ein makom zed, line 19. Ve'ein makom zed matim ledaber bo l'anyan hazeh. As a commentary to the Mishnah, there's no need to talk about Sachar Va'onesh when the Mishnah doesn't talk about it. I mean, I really should not have discussed it over here. It's not the right place. But listen to what he says. El shedalki tamid b'chol makom sheyesh eizeh remez b'yanei emunah. And I find like a little hint, you know, in the Mishnah, where I can now give a shiur to explain ideas of faith. Avayel mashu. And why? Ki chashuv etzli la'asbir yisod ma'yisodot. The most important thing that I teach is teach people Jewish belief, Jewish ideas, and therefore, if we go back to Seder HaGiyur, the Rambam could not imagine that somebody who wants to be a Jew will be only taught Shulchan Aruch. Let me add, the Rambam could not imagine, I also can't, that a Jew who wants to be a good Jew should only be taught Gemara, will only be taught Shulchan Aruch. You have to be taught Emunah, Makshava, Jewish philosophy. And Rambam, as he says, Ma'arichin b'adavar hazeh. Have to make sure that when it comes to ideas, and Rambam was very careful about this. Today the world has a little different opinion about the certainty of ideas and their being absolute. But Rambam said, mistakes in belief, as Reclaim Brisker taught us, mistakes in belief, you're in a kofer even if it's by mistake. You know, the Rambam in the Chol Tshuva, Rambam mentions that if you think the Kadosh Baruch Hu has a goof, that he has a body, you're a mean. The Rambam says, well, how can he say that? There are many Gedolim who think so. So Rav Chaim Vassarman, quotes from Rav Chaim Brisker that you heard from him, the Rav Chaim said, in Apikoros Bishoge, is still not Apikoros. Because in the world of ideas, it's not a question of blame or not blame. Or you have the right idea or you don't have it. And therefore, Ma'arichim Adar is this. I would take us to Parshat Chayei Sarah. In Halachot, you can be sure. But Yafasi Chatash Lavdei Avot B'Torotan Shel Banim. You have to explain the idea clearly, make sure that he understood it. And therefore, Ma'arichim Adar is it. And now the Rambam goes to the second class, which is the first class in the Baraita. That is the law part. And let's try to understand the inner logic of this too. Modin oto miktat mitzvot kalot u'miktat mitzvot chamurot ve'ein ma'arichin b'davar zeh. Now let's try to understand the logic behind this curriculum. On the one hand we say mitzvot kalot and mitzvot chamurot. Now we don't know, we're not told what their identity are, what's kal and what's chamur. I would say that within the world of Lavim, of Lotah, said, we know what's kal and what's chamur by the onesh, by the punishment. In the world of Mitzvot Aseh, Rambam writes all this in Perusha Mishnah and Avot Perek Bet Mishnah Aleph, and therefore he's there by Mitzvot Kalak. We don't know. We don't know what's chamur and what's kal. And I would assume that by the Brayta saying kalot chamurot, is a clear hand to teach him Lavim. How many mitzvot I say, which ones, we don't know. What would you choose to teach him? Today they say usually Shabbat, Kashrut, Tarat HaMishpacha. That's what's usually said today. What's I think fascinating about the procedure of Gerut, you only teach a miktat of each one of them. But you don't teach him all the Chamorot and Kalot. No, you teach him also Kalot and also Chamorot. And by teaching miktzat, we have to try to understand why not more, why not a lot? Well, why only miktzat? And ein ma'arichin b'davar hazeh. It would seem like we're giving him like a sample, right? We're giving him only a taste of what mitzvot are about, but we're making sure that he still has to continue learning after he becomes a ger. And I would like to suggest that perhaps it's not only for technical reasons, because the curriculum then would be too long, the whole year would be 10 years. Not only for that, but perhaps there's something additional which is very essential. That is that perhaps one of the major elements of religiosity has to include the acceptance of God's commandments unconditional, which we are taught by, I would say, the Moran Shabbat and Daf Pei Chet, their analysis of Kafa Alehem Har Kegidim. When you read Shmot Yudet, it seems like Israel, on their own free will, they were so happy to hear about Mamad Har Sinai, the Mitzvah. When Chazal reinterpreted the parasha, the episode, they made sure that it was like threatening. Kafa Alehem Har Kegidim. And I would say Naseh Mishma means that it's unconditional. You do whatever God tells you, not selectively, because you like it, you don't like it. And the truth is, a ger cannot act so. A ger can't come and say Naseh Mishma, because he's not commanded. Then the ger has to say Mishma v'naseh. Well, tell me what it's about. I want to see if I like it. And when you go to the Moran Abu Dazara, Fiyah Behar Paran, where the Moran basically tries to explain a very essential question: why was Torah given only to the Jewish people? Why not to the whole world? This is the proper way to live. Why only to us? And the Gemara's answer is, there are more answers, but that Gemara's answer is that they were offered the Torah, they rejected it. Now when you read that Gemara, every ger really has to be like that goyim. What did they ask? Makatuba. Tell me about it. What's really different about the Jews at Mamad Har Sinai, it's not that they asked Makatuba and we like it. They didn't ask Makatuba. But a ger l'dorot, he has to ask Makatuba. Meaning he has to be Nishma v'naaseh. On the other hand, if his whole commitment to God will be only based upon Nishma v'naaseh, he's lacking something very essential about his being committed. He's not committed. And therefore, the solution perhaps was by teaching him only Miktzat Mitzvot. Then he's Mitgayer, and now he's committed even to those Mitzvot he's not familiar with yet. When there's a very nice reflection on this idea of the Kuzari, when Melech Kuzar is Mitgayer, after which book? Remember, there are five books in the Kuzari. When is he Mitgayer? After the first book. He still has four books. Apparently, he doesn't understand everything. Apparently, he has a lot more to learn. Apparently, his staying in yeshiva has to continue. But he converts after the first book. And being a Jew is living with questions. It's living with a commitment. But the Baraita continues, the Rambam too, and does tell us there's one set of mitzvot they make sure to tell us to make sure we teach him. Meaning the mitzvot kalot chamorot, we don't know what they really taught him. It's not clear. But then they continue, modin uto, avon, leket, shikha, pe'ah, maserani. We made sure that you talk about stuff.
Why does it say avon? Why doesn't it say you should let him know the mitzvot, like a shikha, pe'ah?
So about Leket Shikhal Pe'ah, I think I can answer you. About Maaser Ani, less. The difference between Leket Shikhal Pe'ah and Tzedakah that somebody you said is very essential. Leket Shikhal Pe'ah, you don't do anything. You don't give it to the poor person. You just leave it. You just leave a part of your field, Pe'ah, which you don't pop. I see the Ktzor, help me, Rabbi Frank. The Ktzor, okay. The lack in the cell, do what the Torah says, Ubukut Shachem says, Allah Techalepa. Meaning it's a love. While Tzedakah is, take out of your pocket, Matok Titein, Patok Tiftah. If you read the Psukim, you see very clearly how the Torah is aware of the different psychological elements. When you just leave it, it's not so hard psychologically to leave it. But when you have to take out of your pocket and give it to him, that's not so easy. And the Torah is very aware in Sefer Dvarim, in Perek Tedvav, in the Parshiyot of Tzedakah, of the difficulty of giving Tzedakah. Hishamar lecha, penyet davar, mevcha bliyah, lemor. When you read Lekhet Shekhal Piyah, Torah doesn't talk about it. So therefore, they're called Avon because it's not an asay. It's only a lava nitakla asay. If you don't give them, you sin. If you take them, it's an Avon. Maser Ani, this doesn't explain. But perhaps, since Lekhet Shekhal Piyah is the major part of the sentence they left. I guess,
but it's also a very personal exchange when you have to take it out of your pocket. If you just leave it, you don't know if anybody's coming or if there's any relationship.
Sure.
It's a very different dynamic.
I think it's a very nice comment. But still, they're very different in their I was, as you said, their interpersonal relationship. With the Ani, there are some, I would say, advantages to the other. The Torah commanded both. So, but that's what's called avon. But you make sure to teach him tzedakah. The question is why. So the Gemara is, yes, please.
Well, I wanted to say that in one case, it's really very passive. It doesn't require anything from you. The other is a much more dynamic and personal relationship, and it's required from everyone. In other words, the man who has no field can't give lectures.
Right.
The other one means everybody.
You're right. Very nice. Okay, so but still we have to try to explain to ourselves why did they make sure to single out Avon Lekhet Shekhal Piyah Maaser Ani. When the Gemara asks this in the Yevamot, in the Zayin Amud Bet, the question is how to explain the Gemara. That's the challenge. The Gemara says because a Ben Noach has different ideals of money. When how to explain it, Rashi there brings one explanation that goyim are not used to giving tzedakah, and therefore we're afraid that if somebody will come to his field to take Lekhet Shekhal Piyah, he'll take out a shotgun. Rashi writes the word shotgun rules, and he'll shoot him. So it's dangerous. It's pikuach nefesh. But it would seem, I once heard this explanation from my uncle Rabbi Yitzhak Tursky, Zeh Tzadik Livracha. And he also published in his book Introduction to Mishneh Torah the Rambam. It's an English book, it's written in English. It's also translated to Hebrew. That if you look in other places in the Rambam's writings, you can see very clearly that giving tzedakah is not another mitzvah, but it's a sign of being the children of Abraham Avinu. You cannot be Jewish if you're not able to give tzedakah. And I brought a few of them here, not all of them. The Rambam in Hilchot Matnot Ani in Perek Yud Al Ha'Aleph, it's line 23. The Rambam starts Perek Yud with the following statement: Chayavim anu lizaher b'mitzvah tzedakah yoter mikol mitzvah laseh. Tzedakah is not another mitzvah. It's a unique mitzvah. It's an essential mitzvah. Shatzedakah siman latzadik zera Avraham Avinu sheneimar ki yedatim leman asher yitzaved banav lasot. Brings the normative law how to treat your Eved Kenani, a non-Jew slave. Mutar la'avod be'Eved Kenani b'parech. It's legal, permitted by Jewish law. But, the Rambam says, even though it's permitted, ethically it's not proper. Ve'af al-pi sha'adim kach. Midat chasidut v'dalchei chokhma, she'i adam rachman, ורודף צדק ולא יחביד לו על עבדו ולא יצל treat him properly. And later on, I'll skip a little, you can read it later. The Rambam continues in line 34. ואין האכזריות, be cruel, cruelty, ועזות מצויה לו ב... You can see over here the censorship. You can't write Akum Ovdei Avodah Zarah. I mean, it's... Akum means Ovdei Avodah Zarah. It's clear that the text over here, I just took it from Perek Tashut, but clearly the text over here was Nochrim, or Goyim, yeah. I can tell you there's one place in the Rambam, in the Chod Shechita, Perek Dal L'Chayit Bet, where it says in the Tfusim, Akum Sheino Ben Avodah Zarah, which is very unique. Look up there, okay? Check me later. Perek Dal L'Chayim Bet. But here at least it's Akum Aved Avodah Zarah. Rabbi says, cruelty is not a Jewish character. Jews cannot be cruel. אבל זרעו של אברהם אבינו ואל ישראל שהשפיע עליהם הקדוש ברוך הוא טובת התורה וציווה אותה בחוקים ומשפטים צדיקים רחמנים הם על הכל וכן במידותיו של הקדוש ברוך הוא שציווה לו להתאמות בהם וכמעט את המידותציות די to pay imitate the קדוש ברוך הוא הוא אומר ברחמה על כל מעשיו הוא רוצה קדוש ברוך הוא created the whole world. The slave was created by him too. And he has rachamim on all of the creatures in the whole world. So we as Jews have to imitate him and also have rachamim. Don't only go by the law. And therefore, the Rambam's, by portraying tzedakah, caring for the needy, for the poor, to be aware of the sufferer, to help him, it's essential to make sure that you understand that that's part of being Jewish, because you can be Jewish and not. I want to be careful, but I want to be very sharp. Without keeping Shabbos perfect, you can be Jewish too. Shabbos is a bad example. You can eat machalot asurot and still be Jewish. But you cannot be Jewish and be a cruel, because the children of Ram Avinu have to be. It's a siman to their yichus. They have to be rachmanim. Correct. The Rambam's statements are based upon the Gemara Yevamot, Daf Ayin Tet, where one of these strange episodes at the end of Sefer Shmuel, when David calls the Givonim and he asks them, "What do you want me to do?" And they say, "We want to kill seven of Shaul's children." And the pasuk like stops the story and says, "Vagivonim lo mibnei Yisrael leima." The Gemara Yevamot is brought by the Rambam to, but this is basically the makor of the Rambam, is that this pasuk paused the story and made that statement because it's saying that's not a Jewish behavior. Lo mibnei Yisrael leima, you don't take people who muki otam lifnei Hashem. And what's really behind this is, yes, please.
How would you relate then to trying to deport foreign workers' children?
I'll discuss it with you after this year, okay? With pleasure, okay? With pleasure after this year, okay? I want to develop the idea, yes, please.
Well, what about the forcible conversion of the Idumeans? Isn't that cruel? I mean, how do you forcibly convert a people?
That's true. If you want after this year, I'll discuss it with you. Okay? They will make a rule that questions which are going in the mainstream of the idea will try to answer during this year, and those I relate to all of them, okay? Thank you. Okay. But I would say also that there's something more essential here only than saying that it's a siman zaro shel Avraham. There's some central question perhaps it's good to put on the table. We start reading Sefer Bereshit. We're still within the arena of Peinoch this week. Next week, we start reading about Avraham Avinu. That is what the Sefer Bereshit, what did the patriarchs teach us when the Torah was given at Sinai? The Torah, all the set of values are driven from revelation at Mount Sinai. What the Rambam is basically saying here is something very, very essential. Sefer Bereshit has what to teach us, not only by imagining. As there is such an idea in Chazal that the Avot Shamru Kolot Torah Kulah, but they have a set of values which the Torah, as being a set of laws, cannot express. And after the Avot, lacking that set of norms, could teach us ethics and morality, which is more difficult to learn through the law. Take the Eved Kenani, Mutar Lavod, Eved Kenani Beparach. I mean, the revelation of Sinai, when it came to teach us the laws of how to treat a slave, gave us. I say, Allah Ta'ala, do this, do that. But the ruach, as we say, of the halacha, the ethics, that we learn from Avraham, from Sefer Bereshit, from Torah Avot. When the Rambam also gives the answer to the clue, where was that derived from? Who taught Avraham Avinu what he knew? So the Rambam in Ilchot Deot, when he describes the Derech Ha'emtza, the middle path. I have a brother-in-law, a sister, the last name is Middleman. There are hands on the Rambam. It's great name. Much better, much nicer than Lichtenstein. Mittelman, that's her name. So the Rambam says that Derech Ha'emtza is Derech Hashem. Rambam in Hilchot Deot Perubah, Umitzuvim Anu Alechet B'Drachim Ha'elu Ha'Beinonim, line 41. Hem Adrachim Ha'Tovim Ha'Yisharim Shenimah V'Alachta B'Drachav. Kach Lamdu B'Firush Mitzvisim Mikat Yudei. Ma'o Nikra Chanun Ha'Fata Yeh Chanun, etc., etc. And he continues at the end, I'm skipping a little. ולפי שהשמות האלו, line 49, נקרא בהם היוצר, והם הדרך הבינונית. When I try to characterize what are all these descriptions of God, they all reflect דרך האמצע. And therefore the Rambam continues, נקרא דרך זו דרך השם. It's a fascinating statement, because Rambam learned this idea from Aristotle. It's a fascinating statement. This is דרך השם. This is what Avraham Avinu taught his children. The same pasuk he quoted in Hilchot Matnot Aniyim. In other words, Avraham Avinu learned it through Imitat Yodei. Meaning, if you have a direct link to Avraham Avinu's derech, you have a direct link to the Derech Hashem. And this Derech Hashem is taught through Sefer Bereishit, which I would say together, obviously, Mashlim come to. Compliments. I had the right word. Compliments the laws of Sinai. Together we learn Derech Hashem. So, Miksat Mitzvot Kalot, Miksat Mitzvot Chamorot is from Sinai. And Tzedakah takes us to the ethics. So, Avraham Avinu. Together, you get a right picture of what Jewish is being about. Yes, please.
When I'm thinking about Bereishit, and I'm saying I'm going to speak to a guy and say, follow the ethics of that, and Rachamim, and whatever, and then they'll bring up Levi and Shimon and Shechem, and they'll bring up sending Hagar away. And then I'm thinking, no, so then when you're saying the middle way, I'm just wondering if that's really the ethics. In other words, it's not a kitzoni ethics. It's not turn the other cheek, which is a Christian idea, but ethics is what the Derech Hashem, which is not always what you might, I don't know, that's the way, as you were thinking about it.
I'm just not sure that the question you ask is only if you talk to a goy. If you talk to yourself, yes. I think you should ask the same question. And the truth is, Avraham Avinu did not want to send Ishmael to the desert. He had his great doubts about Ishmael and Avraham.
But Sarah did. So, you know, and they sold a brother. I mean, there's a lot of things in Bereishit that...
Okay, so what? So basically what we have to ask about is the ethics of Sefer Bereishit. I would say the following. I remember my little niece, when she went to this Talmud Torah, you know, where they tell kids stories, when we started asking her, you learned this, you learned that, and we were told people, like, she skipped that, you know. They skipped half the Sefer Bereishit. I can tell you that when you skip half of Sefer Bereishit, when you explain it to a child, it's also because you don't know how to explain it to yourself. Because if you have an answer for yourself, you can talk about it to your children too. And that's a very important topic, but your permission, the same rules which I give my aunt, I'll give you too, okay? Okay? So we'll have to one day discuss it, okay? Try to think about how do we explain many of the behaviors in Sefer Bereishit. I can just tell you that one of the means which I use to try to explain to myself is that you're also able to be critical of the behavior of some of them. And here we're touching on a much larger question, which people like to call Tanakh Begova and I don't like the name, but Yaakov Avinu is critical of the Levi Shimon. And in the story of sending Hagar to the desert, it's, as you said before, I think you answered yourself, that you also have to have limits, and you can't only just be nice. So it's a complicated question, okay? But we'll go back here. After he's taught mitzvot, Derech Sinai, Derech Moshe Rabbeinu, Avraham Avinu, he continues, Modinoto on Shan Shel Mitzvot. He explained to him that it's a serious business to be Jewish. Serious. Keita Adonilo. Hebeyodea, Shad Shelo Bata Ledadzu. Timachal Tachele. We have to understand. יחילת השבת, היא אתה נשכילה. ועכשיו, אחר שתתגייר, אם אכלת חלב, תענוש כרת, עם חילת השבת, תענוש סכילה, ואין מרבים עליו, אין מדפקים עליו. Rambam says, you know, make sure you realize it's a serious business. But don't scare him off, you know? Be soft, you know? Be very clear, but easy. Okay? Here he has educational advice. This will leave the procedure here. Don't only tell him it's serious, but also tell him it's a good thing. It's good to be Jewish. Yes. As Shlomo would say, it's a gewalt, right? It's a geschmack. Yeah, it's great. Modin oto scharan shel mitzvot, v'modin oto shebasiyat mitzvot, elu yizker lechaye olam haba, v'she'en shum tzadik gamur, ela ba'al ha'chokhmah she'oseh mitzvot elu biyodam. So these are the basic elements of the Ulpan Giyur. Later on, Rambam describes the Milah v'Tfilah. But I would like to focus on these ideas, as I open the shiur. I think the reason we expose the potential gear to these ideas, because they're essential ideas for Jews. These are the foundations of Judaism, which are, I'm repeating now the Rambam, it's Yichud Hashem, it's the world of beliefs, it's mitzvot, which include tzedakah, include social responsibility, and sahar va'onesh, which are described here. And we saw too in the Rambam, it's feeling identity with the Jewish people. Now, what I was asking myself when I first learned this, these ideas, such essential ideas, is it possible that they are reflected in more areas of halacha? Perhaps I can find them not only within the procedure of Giyur, but they are so essential, they have to be some other place. And I would like to share with you another place, which I think that these ideas, most of them, not all of them, appear. But that depends, as I told you at the beginning of this year, on how you explain a certain Mishnah. And that is the Hakel. Hakel, once in 7 years, all of Am Yisrael gather in the Beit HaMikdash, and the king reads from the Torah in front of them. The Rambam in Hilchot Chagigah, when he explains the ceremony of Hakel, he emphasizes it's not only in order to learn, it's not only to know the mitzvot, but it's to re-experience Mamad Har Sinai, I would say to recommit yourself mutually as a nation to the content that's read in front of them. And in every reading of the Torah there's a certain covenantal element. And let's explore it. What did he read before them? So the Torah says in the Sefer Dvarim, what would he read in front of them? It doesn't say the Torah the Melech, but it's in Dvarim in Lamed Aleph. And it says in the Torah, I'm reading, Tikra et haTorah hazot neged kol Yisrael bozneim. What is the Torah hazot? It was great to Chazal that Torah hazot doesn't mean the whole Tanah, it means Sefer Dvarim. But which parts of Sefer Dvarim? So the Mishnah in Sota, Perek Zayin, it's 953 on. The Mishnah says, Parashat HaMelech Ketzal. They describe the whole ceremony. Motei Yom Tov, the Mishnah, I brought it from Ketav and Kofman, it says, HaHawal Shel Chag. In most of the Mishnayot it says, Rishon Shel Chag. We won't solve that here too. Motei Shvi'i Tosilo Bima Shel Eitz Va'azara. V'u Yoshev Aleh. You have to realize, the Mishnah says, Ein Yeshiva Va'azara Ela L'Malchei Beit David. You don't sit down and cross your legs in front of God, but the king could. He would sit. Very unusual gesture. Shenemal Nikei Sheva Shani Mevok Kol Yisrael. And here they would do like in the Brit Milah Chekes, you know, then you pass the baby on from to give me more kibbutzim. It also like rises the expectation for the Brit. So Chazal HaKnesset Notel Sefer Torah. נותנו לראש הכנסת, ראש הכנסת נותנו לסגן, הסגן נותנו לכהן גדול, כהן גדול נותנו למלך. From this line you know that the מלך is above the כהן גדול. Look how poor the מלך is. והמלך עומד ומקבל וקורא יושב. He would read when sitting down. אגריפס המלך עמד וקיבל וקרא עמד. אגריפס laying standing. ושיבחו חכמים כשהגיע ללא פתוחה לתת עליך איש נוכרי השלו הכי חמור, זרגו דמעיו. He cried because he was a בן גרים. אמרו לו, אל תראה גריפס, אחינו אתה, אחינו אתה. וקורא, now the Mishnah describes what you're laying. It's, I read Agrippas purposely, because one thing you know from Agrippas, we know that since he laid לא תוכל לתת עליך איש נוכרי, that obviously he laid the parashat המלך in Sefer Dvarim, which is in Dvarim, Perek Yudchet. Now what's the logic why laying parashat HaMelech? It's very clear, because who lays it? The Melech. So you read parashat HaMelech. What else? The Koran mitchilat ela dvarim, which is dvarim aleph, ad shma, which is dvarim vav, v'ayayim shamoa, which is dvarim yud aleph, aser ta'aser, which is, it's a very wanted aliyah, you know that. And chutzlar, it's even more because, you know, you read to call out b'chor, but it's in Dvarim Yud Gimel. Aser ta'aser kol tvorat zarecha. Ki techalel aser is Dvarim Chavav. It's the parasha of Vidui Maaser. Ki techalel aser. U'brachot u'klalot, which are Dvarim Chavzayim. It's the ceremony of Har Grizim v'Har Ebal. Ad shu gomer et kulam. That's what's described here. Now, the Mishnah but forgets to describe where did you read Parashat HaMelech. And look how Rashi explains it. Rashi says, I brought it here. Kore mitzvah de la dvarim ad shma shavei tchana. He would read from dvarim aleph to dvarim vav. Ushma vayayim shamoa yidei dilu. Then he would skip to dvarim yud aleph to lay vayayim shamoa. So two parashiyot of Mezuzah. They're on tefillin. They're on kriyat shma. ומשם מדלג לעשר תעשר, he would skip to דברים יוד גימל. משם מדלג וקורא כי התחלה לעשר, he would skip to דברים חבב. וברכות וקללות, he would read דברים חבב חבזי. ומשם חוזר למפרע וקורא עשים עליי מלך. And according to Rashi, he would only read the parashiyot which the Mishnah states explicitly. I mean, he would lay Shema v'yayim shamoa, aser ta'aser, ki itchalel aser, brachot uklalot. And then parashat HaMelech. But even according to Rashi, you really have to ask yourself, why were these chosen out of all the parashiyot of Sefer Dvarim? And very clearly you can see some resemblance of the procedure of Giyur. To start Shema v'yayim shamoa is Yichud, but only according to the Rambam, Yichud Hashem, Yisru Avodah Zarah, ומעריכים את הדבר הזה, נולי את שמה ועניין שמוע. עשר תעשר, כי התחלה לעשר, very clearly, are related to, עבור לקט שיקחה פעה מעשר אני, clearly. ברכות וכללות are related very clearly to what? To עונשם של מצוות, מתן שכרם של מצוות, very clearly. It's the same ideas. The only thing you don't find according to Rashi is, מקצת מצוות קלות, מקצת מצוות חמורות, but look who added them in. The Rambam in Hilchot Chagiga, where he describes differently what he would lay. It's much longer, you know. Look what Rambam said. In Matan Yukorim, line 74. But Zayom Tov Arishon Shechag Sukkot, Shul Tchilat Yemei Yad Yom Tov Rishon, Shul Tchilat Yemei Cholol Shel Moed, etc. And we'll skip to line 76. Meichan Hu Korim. Look how we interpret the Mishnah. מתחילת חומש אלה הדברים עד סוף פרשת שמע. הוא מדלג לבעיין שמוע, הוא מדלג לעשר תעשר, now look what he writes, וקורא מעשר תעשר על הסדר עד סוף ברכות וקללות. עד מלבד הברית השקרן איתם וחורא. According to the Rambam, he would read from עשר תעשר, which is in דברים, יד גימל, all 13 chapters until 14, until Dvarim of Zion. And now we know where Parashat HaMelech was, where it came from. That's what, that's, the Rashi said, he read all these, then he read again Parashat HaMelech. The Rambam says, very simple explanation. Since he read from Dvarim Yud Gimel until Dvarim Chaf Zayin, Parashat HaMelech and Dvarim Yud Ches, he learned it. It wasn't even singled out. According to Rashi, they singled out, let's learn Parashat HaMelech. Rambam says, they led all those Parashiyot. Now, I assume most of you are familiar with those Parashiyot. What do they include? They include many mitzvot. The central mitzvot, the Sefer Dvarim, are there in those Parashiyot. So in the Rambam, even more than Rashi, you see that Hakel included the exact same content as Seder HaGiyur. And it says, then if I mentioned before that Seder HaGiyur goes back to Har Sinai, the Tefillah and the Korban, and the Rambam also says that Hakel goes back to Har Sinai, these are the fundamental contents of Judaism. It's again, it's Yichud Hashem, Visu Avodah Zarah, it's Aser Ta'aser Tzedakah, and it's Mitzvot and Sachar Va'Onesh. Now I would like to add that this is an idea that I only thought of it a few weeks ago during Chodesh Elul, and then somebody showed me that it occurs in Sefer HaKarim, this idea. So as one of the Rambam, when I learned in Yeshiva Netiv Meir, Rav Eliyahu Grossberg, if you would think of something which Tosfot would say, he would say, you deserve magia lecha letifa ostira. I mean, you have to give you like a shkoyach and I have to beat you up. A letifa, I mean, you have to say, kol hakavod, that you thought of a nice idea. Ostira, they did, you don't learn. Meaning, I'm embarrassed, I don't say for a career properly, but he brings the idea. I was learning malchiyot zichrot and shofarot, and I asked myself the same question. These are the central ideas of Tfilat Rosh Hashanah. Are these ideas of Malchuyot, Zichron and Shofarot only ideas of Rosh Hashanah? Or perhaps they are central ideas of Judaism, that in Rosh Hashanah we read the clear, the truth, we read Quran, the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And I was almost convinced these ideas of Malchuyot, Zichron and Shofarot have to be in other places. And I was thinking the following, what are the ideas of Malchuyot, Zichron and Shofarot? The idea of Malchut is the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the creator of the world. He created the whole world. Zichronot is providence. That is Hashgacha. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mashgiach on the world. He remembers what happened. He decides what's going to be. And Shofarot here, it depends how you read Shofarot. You say Gula. Birkat Shofarot talks about Mamad Har Sinai, which is revelation. And here are three central ideas of Judaism, which are, the truth is all described in the Yud-Gimel Ikarim of the Rambam, that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and he's has relationship to the world. He's Mashgiach on the world, he knows what happens in the world, he decides what will happen in the world, he gives Sachar Va'onesh, and he reveals himself to the world and teaches the world mitzvot. And these three central ideas, Sefer Karim says it explicitly, I'll read it to you. From line 80. הדרך הנכון שיראה לי בספירת העיקרים ששורשים ביסודות לתורה האלוקית הוא כי העיקרים הכוללים והכרחים לדת האלוקית הם שלושה. הם מציאות השם, השגחה, providence, לשכר בעונש, which the truth is that the revelation of that idea is through יציאת מצרים, פקוד פקדתי, the major, the word of pkida, creates in zichronot too. Pakod pakadeti, Hashem pakadet sarah, kasher amar, in zichronot. V'torah min ha-shamayim. Meaning God created the world, He's interested in what happened, He talks to the world. Ve'elo ha-shlosha hem avod l'chol ha-ikarim asher l'adatot ha-elokiyot. And he continues on later. I'm skipping a little. ומאלה line 87. ומאלה גימל עיקרים הכוללים מסתרגים סעיפים וענפים לתורות האלוקיות. You can take the idea of providence or creation, revelation, and through a few categories you can explain the idea in depth, broader idea, but these are the essentials. These are the סודות. And he says the following, כי תחת עיקר מציאות השם הוא הרחקת הגשמות, meaning How do you describe the Kadosh Baruch Hu not having a body? It's part of believing in His existence. Should we call Matil Torah Moshe? B'tachat Torah min haShamayim, He says, "V'shorash Nevuat Moshe." Meaning, I can talk about the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy. It's being a subcategory of the major category, which is revelation. And therefore, he continues and he says, line 95. Va'amore aleyot gimel ha'ikarim alalu shorash v'yisod ha'emuna asher ba yagir ha'adam el hatzlachato ha'amitit huma she'izdu lanu anshei kneset ha'gdola b'tfilat musav shorash ha'shana gimel brachot she'en malchuyot, zichronot v'shafarot she'en kenegit gimel ha'ikarim alalu להעיר לב האדם כי באמנת העיקרים הללו יציפיהם ושורשיהם כפי מה שראוי יזכה האדם בדינו לפני השם. If you come in Rosh Hashanah לפני השם having the right religious ideas, so God will be mezakeh you בדין, כי ברכת מלכויות הוא כנגד מציאות השם ויורה על זה נוסח הברכה. על כן נקבל לך השם אלוקינו לראות מראה ותפארת את זה חלץ כפרידו. וכן ברכת זיכרונות תורה על ההשגחה, השכר והעונש, וכן יורד לשכר ברכה, אתה זוכר מה עשה עולם? וברכת שופרות, here we have a little premise and some other ideas, like Rabbi Spiegelman, right? היא לרמוז על העיקר השלישי של תורה מן השמיים, וכן היא מתחילה, אתה נגלית בענן קודך, על ענן קודשך, לדבר ממה מן השמיים, משמעתם את קודך, לפי שמעמד מתן תורה היה באמצעות כל שופר חזק מאוד. And later on, he even suggests, she skipped to line 127, that even the Rambam with 13 Ikarim, there really are three groups, which are these three groups. There are three central, I would say, religious ideas, which are the central ideas of Judaism, which are the relationship between the Kadosh Baruch Hu and the world. The Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and He relates to the world. And His relationship is through providence and through revelation. And therefore, when we have a potential gear, we expose them to these central ideas, which we add a little. Meaning, if I go back to Seder Agur, mitzvot are revelation, yichud Hashem, creation, sachar v'onesh, providence. We add Am Yisrael, we add tzedakah, we add. But these are the central ideas which we expose the gear to, because these are central ideas which are also central ideas for us as Jews. And therefore in Akel we recommit ourselves to these ideas. And every year, Rosh Hashanah, we declare these three ideas. Okay, good evening. Shalom.